Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is the one, the only pro wrestling interviews. This is Dr. John Stamey, and I am so glad to be with you here tonight. We're going to have a blast. We have got two superb co-hosts and maybe a third one coming on. First of all, from Emerald Isle, North Carolina, truly one of the greatest wrestlers from one of the greatest wrestling families of all time, the one and only Maestro. How are you doing tonight, Maestro?
Doing great. Great to be here. It's always a pleasure to be here for pro wrestling interviews.
Well, thank you very much. We're glad to have you here. And I was just thinking as we were having a little bit of banter back and forth, one of the most amazing things that ever happened to me was going to the Tidewater Comic-Con and having some little film director call and say, you need to come talk to Maestro. And you know what? That was truly one of the finest moments, one of the good friends that I've ever met, and we're thrilled to have you on here. And Todd Sexton, you from Indianapolis, Indiana, from our northernmost outreach. How are you doing tonight?
Doing outstanding at Supernatural. Ecstatic to be here. Just always honored to be allowed to come on.
Well, you better be careful. You're more than allowed.
What happened, Todd? Did they put you in purgatory or something?
Well, I hope not. I mean, listen, you know, we got to. But I think purgatory.
You didn't lose the game
of
Monopoly,
creation.
Did you? You didn't have to go directly to jail card in the Monopoly game.
Well, that's right, Todd.
Just at my age, I go to bed early anymore. That's about really not too far from the truth. In all honesty.
Well, that was my luck playing with my uncle Monopoly. I always went to jail. He always cheated me in jail every time.
We are just glad to have both of you guys here. It's a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun, and thanks a lot for being here. And I will say that we're going to get started. This is going to be like the old General Electric College Bowl. I'm going to do a 10-point toss-up, and the Maestro, if you don't mind, sir, is going to start us out. What is on your mind for professional wrestling this week?
Oh, man, so much going on. Tonight, it's the AEW Revolution pay-per-view going on. A lot of good matches going on. And we're on the cusp of WrestleMania. Champion versus champion, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, title for title, winner take all. A lot of things happening in the wrestling world. People defecting, going from one place to another. So it's an exciting time. And, it's times like these is where you see new stars emerge and all that. So I'm very excited to see what transpires next.
Well, you know what? It wasn't that way in the old NWA. When they had those territories, people really ratcheted down on those stars that kept them there unless they made an agreement to the star, like they would Tom Hitch from Alabama over to North Carolina. And then it got a little bit freer when Vince McMahon and WWF and subsequently WWE came along, but then we have these new wrestling federations. So, I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, Stro, you remember when it was territories, and I remember you were one of the greats in Smoky Mountain. And, you know, it's funny. You say Smoky Mountain, people say, oh, whatever. Smoky Mountain had some of the greatest talent of all time, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was a throwback to the territory days. I mean, the good thing about territories was that, you know, you can go from one territory to the next. Like if you got stale in one territory, you can go to a whole new territory and start over and become a whole new star all over again. It was a beautiful thing. And like the champions back then were real, like the world champions were really world champions. Like example, back when Harley Race and Ric Flair were the world champions, they would travel the world, not just the territories around the country, but like overseas and different tours and all that. I mean, they were legit world champions and they would travel all over and defend the title against the top person in each territory. because each territory had like the top person, which would be the number one contender, considered being the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship, whether it be a regional champion or just a high ranking top 10 talent at the time. So the territories was great and they kept everybody fresh. The guys and gals can go from place to place and still, perfect their craft and stay true to their fan base. I mean, it was a very exciting time and it also was a good learning experience for people coming up in the business to get that experience and learn how to perfect their craft and be great in the industry.
Right, and talk about perfecting their craft. You are a man, you came up through the ranks. You had to try out for WWF. You came up through the ranks to become a major, major superstar. And when you descended down upon the ring in the piano, truly one of the most incredible moments in all of wrestling history. And Todd, I think you'll agree with me. Stro has been part of some of the greatest wrestling in the world. I mean, especially, Stro, when you ascended and then you descended upon the ring, that was the coolest thing on the planet. And I mean, I can't think of anything any more incredible. Can you? I know that's a terrible self-fulfilling prophecy, but I can't think of anything more incredible than how you entered the wrestling world at number one.
Well, that was a pretty big feat for me because I'm not really much on heights. and wrestling some years prior to finally going full-time with WCW, I mean, it was a long time coming career-wise. So it was just it was a tough thing, actually, because I worked with a stuntman prior to starting doing those entrances with the raft, the platform, the Cattle Opera, and the Baby Grand coming down from the arenas. And it was tough. I worked with Jimmy Hart and the Sheet Music, and but we had history of both being in Memphis history, as well as him being musically inclined with Derringer back in the day. And I mean, Jimmy's so talented. Jimmy Hart's amazing. And what I asked Brett for permission to do that sort of entrance because I had a lot of respect for the Hart family, and I got to hang out with Owen and before he passed, and at the time Sting and I were only two doing that sort of thing coming out of the rafters. He was doing the whole crow thing, the harness, which actually that's what the stuntman was preparing me with, propelling myself down from the rafters with the harness, right? And if Brett didn't give me the green light to do it out of respect for the family, I would have told Bischoff and the rest of the office, I know can do. But he gave me the green light to do it, and I went through it, and the rest was history. So it was a pretty big deal. I mean, and they stuck me real high up there. I remember looking down, everybody looking at ants, and I had to kick the bass and the piano because, man, the crowd noise was deafening back then. I mean, they would pack the arenas there for the Nitros, and right in the middle of the Monday Night Wars and everything. And I remember my debut there doing that, and Sid Vicious is in the ring like powerbombing people and all that, and actually got him to stop and actually calmed the big man down playing the piano. It's like taming the savage beast, if you will, at the time. So it was kind of cool.
Absolutely it was. And I mean, it was just a very special time in wrestling, and I think you might agree with me. That might have been the top I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it, Vince McMahon, don't get mad at me. I think that might have been the top of the wrestling world was when you were coming down from the rafters, Sting was coming down, all that. That's at the most creative moment, and that's kind of, I don't know if you'll agree with me, but that might have been a great part of the legacy that Dusty Rhodes started as a creative director at WCW. Would you agree?
Well, Dusty helped out so many of us, and he's helped me a lot through the years. Matter of fact, he was going to bring me in some years prior as Gorgeous George III and defeat with Johnny B. Badd at one point, which I was very much looking forward to. But I don't know what happened there. Some things slipped along the cracks. I think Dusty got out of the office for a bit or something. But, yeah, Dusty, he was also a big supporter of that as well. And it's like, man, you know, with the NWO going on at the time and the rise of Goldberg and Sting and all that, you know, it was seeing myself do the thing at the Maestro, it was kind of a bit of a different change up, if you will, from everything else that was going on. But a lot of, like I said, that was one of the many big things that was happening at the time at WCW. But they were, like, exploding and taking off, and it was an exciting time.
Well, it certainly was. And we have Stellar Steven Logan. How are you doing tonight from Richmond, Virginia?
Doing good. Just listening.
Well, we're glad to have you here, and Todd, and we've got the maestro of professional wrestling, the one and only Rob Kellum, but I'll tell you what, he is truly the maestro, and he has been part of some of the biggest things in all of wrestling. And, of course, his lineage, his great-uncle being the man that I believe invented the heel and basically invented the persona in the ring. And what I say, and you're going to have to really argue this point with me if you don't agree, but he is the man that invented professional wrestling today. And so that's what I think, Papa Stro. Steve, if you got a question for Papa Stro, because we're just talking history and wonderful stuff about wrestling, and you always have a good question.
No, I'm just wondering what Stro thinks of AEW Revolution tonight.
You know, I've been trying to keep up as best I can. I did hear about the upset with Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho. That was amazing.
I might have to catch up later, but I did see the result of that.
It did the whole I think it was Misawa finish, the plum stretch.
Yes, Kawada's stretch plum.
Yeah. Yeah, Kawada. Yeah, man, that was pretty amazing. Because I know Kingston was a big Kawada fan. That was like, I thought it was great. You know, I think it was a win much needed for Eddie Kingston too.
Right.
That's pretty awesome. I'm hoping the rest of the pay per view is good. I'm trying to keep up with the best I can. Due to results.
Yeah, I might have to catch up later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should be a good night. You got the dog collar match, MJF and CM Punk. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, same. The build up is great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then that battle of the Adams for the championship.
Yeah, Paige and Cole.
Then someone pulled the rib. I said, here's spoiler alert, Adam will win.
Right.
Oh, man. Yeah. Good stuff, man. I'm excited to tell you what happened to Brock Lesnar in Madison Square Garden. You got attacked by Roman Reigns. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so hyped for that match. Reigns and Lesnar.
I heard people were disappointed that Austin Theory was the mystery opponent, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting, like, too much out of that, you know what I mean? I knew it was going to be kind of like a somewhat of a build-up for Mania somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But where's Cody going to end up, man? Cody Rhodes, man. Is he going to come back to AEW? You think he's going to jump on WWE once again?
Yeah, I'm still not certain. Like, even the creatives are not sure.
Now, there's a rumor going around that him and Seth Rollins may have something involved for Mania. Did you hear about that?
No, but that would be interesting.
Yeah. Because I've been wondering what Seth Rollins is going to do at WrestleMania now that things are kind of like winding down.
Yeah, exactly. I don't see any puns from him yet.
Yeah. So we'll see. Good stuff.
Oh, Papa Stray, I've got something, an aside for you that is going to make
okay.
you laugh. You do remember
no, please.
That most famous Camden Comic-Con, right?
Oh, Camden, yeah. That was one for the ages.
That's right. Well, I've got news for you. I have resurrected, I've got a new artist, and we have resurrected Palmetto Caricatures. He is like the best little artist and the nicest person. And we
oh.
were at his, what I call hysterical Camden. We were at historic Camden yesterday. And I asked the new executive director, I said, you know what? I ran a Comic-Con the first weekend in December. It was only 2 years ago that disaster happened. Did you know that?
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Said, you know what? I might be interested in running a specially themed Comic-Con, which is a kind of a way to describe the Krampus Festival. And she said, well, sure, that'd be great. Well, let's talk about it. So, Papa Stroh,
oh, wow.
if you are available that first weekend in December, we might
okay.
resurrect the Camden Comic-Con / Krampus Festival. So I just wanted to warn you, you may be getting a call for me on that, but I hope you will. You were truly the voice of reason. You were that is the night when I was so worried. You were the best friend that I have ever had. And I want to tell everybody, you were truly, there's never been a friend like Papa Stroh that night when I was so worried. And he said, just shut up and go to bed and see what happens tomorrow. And all I got to say is thank you so much. I just wanted to tell you that it may be back, and you may be invited as our primo guest star.
Thank
and
you.
I don't know, but I'll let you know, but I just had to tell you that, okay?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's what I tell myself when I have rough days. Just, you know, let it go and, you know, see what tomorrow brings.
You were right. And you know what?
Every
we
day.
Got up and we had breakfast at Waffle House. We went over there and nothing bad happened. It was great. So all I got to say
yeah.
is that is probably in my life the best piece of advice that I've ever gotten, and it came from Papa Stroh, the maestro of wrestling, the man that has so much experience in wrestling. Because you know what? And I'll say this to everybody, not just to you, Papa Stroh, but if you've got experience in wrestling and you've made it, you know what to do in so many situations. Am I correct?
Yeah, I've learned a lot over the years. Here's a funny story for you. Long time ago, right, I was new, green to the business. I was on the show Ricky Morton, right? And I felt like I had a bad match. And in my mind, I felt like because I'm a big perfectionist as far as matches go. I get in the back. I'm looking at Ricky as a Ricky man. I had a bad night, and it could have gone so much better. And Ricky just looked at me and said, hey, man, don't worry. I've screwed up more times than you have matches. No worries.
Tell you what, that Ricky Morton, he is a man among men, isn't he, Papa Stroh?
One of the best people I ever want to meet, man. Ricky's such a nice dude. Yeah, he's got a good heart and everything, man. And I'm so happy for him and his son. His son's carrying is doing good now. And now I wish him all the best, man.
Yep.
He's a good kid too.
Todd, what have you Carrie's got? What
kid.
Have you got to say tonight? We haven't heard from you.
There were a couple things I had touched on a little bit of. The nostalgia of the Monday Night Wars. Man, what a great time to be a fan of professional wrestling. It really was. It would be, you'd be watching one channel while recording with the VCR, the other channel. And it's not like you just set it and forget it. It was watching the build up to what was coming for that given night. And it was what you wanted to be able to see that evening more than the other. And, you know, I mean, there were good grief. I mean, it was unreal. That was really particular. particularly wonderful. And I was going to ask, now, Papa Stro, you were talking about how they set everything up to be able to do the whole baby grand entrance. Man, how long did they take to set it up? And did you, how did you, that had to have be a lot of faith for the people that were doing the quality control on that, because that's, those things are not light.
Oh, no. And, well, I know it took 2 or 3 weeks with the stuntman working with me on the harness, just in case the platform I was playing the piano collapses or something, and I could propel myself up with the harness, like Sting was doing, that type of thing. With the grand, they would just find a piano, whatever town I was at, with them, and bring it in and use it, put it on the platform, the candelabra and everything. So it was just like the story I was telling you about the Jake and the snakes. You know what I mean? They did find a piano nearby, and so I could use it.
Wow. That's just, yeah, because, I mean, that was a, that's a pretty big platform. I mean, and we know that people have done a ton of stuff from, I know Kiss was pretty good coming down on some of the platforms at certain points over the years, things like that. The, you got to have faith in your, got to have faith in the rivers.
Yeah, they made the whole contraption. They put a lot of money into that. And it blew me away when I first saw it. I was like, oh, my God, I'm actually going to be up in the air playing this.
Good grief.
It was pretty overwhelming. Yeah,
you're going to be flying, Papa Smith. And by the way,
yeah,
we have a mystery caller from 803-413.
Oh, yeah.
Is
not
that
a mystery,
the one, the only?
Need...
That is Susan Green, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm running late, but I had to deal with other things.
That's all right. Well,
yes.
Well, we now have two of the greatest superstars of all time in wrestling on with us. We've got Maestro and we've got Susan Green, and we are so grateful that you're here. And just wanted to say thanks.
I'm just hoping to be half of what she is someday. She's the greatest. I'm just hoping to be half of what she is.
All I got to say is
I can't wait to have Strobe as my partner again.
Oh,
I love
yes.
it.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
My best tag team partner ever, Susan Green.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, she may be the greatest. She may be the greatest tag team partner and one of the greatest, truly greatest wrestlers in history. With all she's done. And Susan, we're so glad to have you here. And we were just talking about stuff. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to assign Papa Stro to tell Susan what we've been talking about and engage Susan in the next 2 minutes. Papa Stro, is that okay with you?
That's fine. That's fine.
What have you been up to?
Oh, what have I been up to? Oh, my goodness. Just getting better. My health's a lot better than it was the previous month. So I'm just happy to get back out and doing things, back in training. Just getting back in ring shape, getting back in the acting, just getting out there, period. Just be able to breathe again and not cough my lungs out. We'll be depressed.
I don't know who keeps calling me in, but they won't even let me train here. Every time I try to get someone here to train, LLR shows up.
Really?
If you knew where I lived, people that know where I lived and actually been here, I have to go meet them on the highway to lead them in. Because I'm 250 yards in the woods. They miss my driveway because there's so many driveways that look alike. And GPS will have you turning where they're selling eggs. And I said, no, I don't sell eggs.
Oh, the yolk on that, badacha.
Yeah. But I said, of all things, I was sitting there working with Big Hoss. And all of a sudden the door opened and their study green jacket, and I thought, you need to be with somewhere, Hoss, and you know. And I said, well, I'm not expecting anybody. And he says, well, when you hear the letters, you probably know who I am. And I thought, letters? And he went, LLR. And I thought, oh, my God. You know, you got to be, y'all can't be breathing on each other, and y'all can't be letting the sweat. And I thought, oh, my God. And I said, I can rest assure you, with him having his three-year-old son, he'd make sure that I was safe before I got anywhere close to him.
Right.
I wouldn't want to be doing anything.
Right.
So, but they shut me down, and they come out here to see what I'm doing. You know, and it's like, I ain't doing nothing. Mowing grass and picking up limbs.
They're the ones that, if you needed anybody to go down the chicken egg seller's driveway, they were the ones you needed to go down that driveway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, my fur baby's got me back in shape, actually, walking them, my dog.
Yeah.
So that helps the cardio.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's great. So, Susan, I guess this Dr. John, I'll just ask you the kind of general question I would like to. Are you you're doing better, because we know that you had a very serious injury, but are you doing better, and do you have hopes to get back in the ring one day?
Oh, yeah. The only thing I'm having trouble with, my ankle now, and the doctors and the therapist is saying, because they put me in the cast and I wasn't able to move my ankle at all, and it was fractured, and of course my leg was fractured, and then the tendons, instead of being able to piece it together, they had to get complete tendons from my knee to my ankle, and then two of them that went from my ankle across the top of my foot. But I actually shredded those three tendons, and my doctor said that he hadn't seen pro football players do the damage that I'd done to my foot and leg. But they were afraid that I'd developed a blood clot, so they had me doing nothing other than doing the water therapy. But I'm looking forward to getting back in. You know, maybe after May before I'm able to climb back up there, but I've tried to get my boot on a couple of times, and I'm not able to flex my foot far enough down to be able to pull my boot up. So it's just a matter
I think it's when you talk about it, it's a matter of how much you want to do it, because wrestling is truly your life, correct?
Yeah. 53 years, this is my life.
And it's a distinguished life, and we're so pleased to know you. I mean, God, good Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that you have done. So, I mean, just wish you the best. And And so you
met a lot of people, been a lot of places, and some places I don't want to ever go back, and there's some places I would love to go back. Some of the places, you know, it was like over in South America, it's like, how can these people afford to, you know, they can't afford to eat, and they're coming to see me wrestle. And, of course, to get out of India, we had to run to the American embassy to get out, because they were going to kidnap the women. So, you know, I said, if I don't ever go back to India, that's okay with me.
Wow. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Papa Stroh, you ever been to any places like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I remember this tour. We just we had to take pills, like malaria pills.
Yeah.
The food. Oh, God, the food, man. I just couldn't get into food for some reason. I'm just like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it to be over.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know the first time I went to China, they sit there and the cholera shot, and it was like just a shot. I thought my arm was going to fall off.
Oh, wow.
So she said, "Oh, you're wrestling tonight." And it's like, wrestle? I can't even pick my arm up, let alone wrestle. And, of course, the three girls that were, the other three girls, they already had the shot. They were just coming back from overseas. They didn't have to do it. They were still good. It was just my little gimpy self had to have this cholera shot. And I looked at Sandy Parker and I said, "Don't expect to tag me." I ain't getting up there, so I'm able to move my arm.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I look back when I wrestled in Vietnam in 70. I was still in, it was my senior year of high school. It was the Christmas holidays. And Kay Noble had made the remark, said, "You're the only stupid person that would think the red wear red, white, and blue when they went to the ring." I thought, well, and they said, "You're going to give an easy target for where they're going to hit us." I thought, let's get out there and run real fast. But at this time, we was doing outside shows, you know. There wasn't anything inside during 70, and I thought, you see the bombs going off, you'd see us hitting the floor and covering our head or trying to hide under the ring, and it was like, you know, what's the ring going to do? And I thought, I didn't know, but I thought it would help me.
Oh, man.
And the guys, "Oh, that's good, this," and it's like, and y'all were just sitting there, "Oh, it was 5 miles away," and it's like, y'all have got to be kidding. You know, "Well, if it's getting closer than 5 miles, we might worry." And I thought, well, I'm worrying now.
Right.
5 miles is too close for me. I'm still in high school.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that's what surprised I wrestled Mae Young when I was a junior in high school, and she beat the tar out of me. I don't think my brother, I wasn't old enough to drive, so my brother drove me out there on Friday, so I wrestled Saturday night. We got back in the car after I wrestled, black, purple, blue, yellow, and I went into school that Monday, got back home Sunday enough to get some sleep and go to school. And, of course, I had to be at swimming first and then tennis afterwards. And I said, "Do I really have to practice tennis today?" Swimming wasn't so bad. I'd lean up against the jets and let them hit all the bruises that Mae so graciously left on me. But
oh,
tennis,
goodness.
Trying to swing that racket, it was like I had a cannon in my arm or in my hand trying to swing that thing.
Oh.
But I will have to say that I fought some of the ones back in the day that they beat you to death before you knew what you knew.
Mm-mm.
You know,
ain't that true?
Yeah.
Boy,
a lot of people don't know that.
The hell be out of
Mae, Mae Young was actually, you know, I guess she was the first one that went up against the Liberator. Whenever she went to the University of Oklahoma, she was the kicker for the University of Oklahoma. Back
she
in 47
what?
Or 48.
What did you say, Susan?
She was the,
what was she?
She was the kicker for the University of Oklahoma. And, you know, we have it bad. You
really?
Know, this was like 40. Yeah, she was like 47 when she went out to try out for football and she became the kicker. You know, so she was going women's lib well before women's lib started. You know,
oh, she's way ahead of her time, man.
Oh, yeah,
way ahead of her time.
Yeah, definitely. But,
that's,
you know,
amazing.
She came out.
Whoa.
Yeah, you know, she came
that's
out here right after Miller passed away. I'd pick her up because she couldn't drive. I'd take her out and bring her up here and let her watch me train the guys. And I told the guys, and she said, "That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it." And I thought, I went over to Big Hoss and Tyrell, Big Game, and Earl and all, and sat there and said, "Guys, she hears you." she can't see a lick. And I said, the way y'all are hitting and popping, the way you're making that hit, I don't care y'all beating each other to death. Do it. It's making her think of the old days, you know. But, mm-hmm. but I said, when there's laying those forearms in and it was popping, and then whenever me and Furman got up there and started doing all the hollering, now that's the way you're supposed to do it. I said, see, I told you got to be vocal. May likes you to be vocal. she liked that I was training the old school way, and I sat there whenever the guys left and got all the guys got pictures with her, which I was surprised she took pictures, but she had her jacket on from Oklahoma and all. I said, well, you got to be proud of that jacket because she was well ahead of her time, you know, and it was for being the kicker of football. The first, you know, and everyone's saying all these girls that are being the first to do it now. She was the first woman that ever went out for football. You know, there wasn't another woman to go out. Now, they have been here lately, but back in 47, they probably looked at, well, I looked at her like she was crazy. You know. Well, I had my school jacket on for swimming and tennis, and I got one of those for football, and I thought, oh, my God.
Wow.
That's
I'm
amazing.
In trouble now. I don't have no water, and I ain't got a ball to hit.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it really is, Susan. Thanks for those stories. I mean, you only hear on pro wrestling interviews, WLSC AM and FM, Loris Myrtle Beach. And we even snuck in the station ID. So thanks. But yeah, please keep on. I mean, your stories are marvelous.
I got took before the king in Tonga. They're gonna shoot me. Because I killed my legs.
Oh, wow.
I was with Ric Flair, and we were going to run out the back doors of our rooms and go to the beach because at the hotel, we had a fabulous hotel. But every time we tried to lay out in the recliners, people stood around us, so we couldn't get no sun, you know. And he says, why don't we go down the beach? And I said, all right. Well, I said, let's go out our back door so they don't know what we're doing, you know. So he was walking on down there. Well, I had the towel wrapped around me, had the same identical bathing suit other than a different color that I would be wearing for the king when we wrestled the next night. I think that was on a Thursday night or Thursday afternoon, and we were going to be wrestling for him Friday night. And all of a sudden, I start hollering Flair, and he said, what did you do? And I had all these swords pointed at me. And I said, I don't know, but get the card. Because I'm going whatever way these swords start pointing me. So they were shining in the sun,
wow.
And they looked awful sharp.
Oh, my
goodness.
They walked
me through the market. I walked out of one of my flip-flops, and it was hot. I was tippy-toeing and going as best I could. We got to the king's mansion, and we had to go through the gate, and all these people started following us, and about the time we got there, of course, when Steve and Flair walked in, Steve said, why did you do that? And I said, what did I do? You know, I still don't know what I've done. I still got a towel around my neck. You know? And he said, you showed your legs. And I thought, well, I'm going to be showing my legs tomorrow night. I always show my legs when I wrestle. You know, I mean, from my thigh down to my knees where my boots start. And he said, but you can't, you know, you're unfit to be a woman, a wife, if you show your legs before you get married. And I thought, well, I'm not getting married. And I looked at the king, and I sat there, and he said, well, didn't you see past the execution grounds? And I said, Flair, is that where we talked about the Halloween party? And he says, obviously. Well, the Halloween party wasn't the Halloween party. It's where they actually did the executions. They didn't have a jail they walked you through the market, so if anybody wanted to see the execution, they could come in. And sometimes they just put you in the shackles to where you got ate up by ants and flies, and other times they had a guillotine that got you, and another one that they hung in. Another time you got put in front of the firing squad, and I sat there and thought, you know, you let me out of this, and you won't ever see these flags again. You know? And then Steve started laughing. He said, what? And I said, y'all just let me out of this, and you won't ever see these legs again. Well, of course, they knew I was wrestling the next night, so I was going to be showing my legs. And I thought, oh, no, we ain't never seeing these legs again. And I said, the next night, we had a tag team against we had Farm Boy Info and Diamond. And I said, she was a diamond in the rough. And she was in the real rough, but she was wearing a totally black bodysuit. She looked like a big chunk of coal. But I sat there and said, that whenever Steve had said, well, I told this king that you came out wearing an Elvis jumpsuit thing. And I said, oh, I'll do that. I ain't got a problem. Well, I put my back to that king, and I started coming out of that jumpsuit. And he was just laughing. Well, when I spun around, to let him see me, it said pumping iron Hawaiian style on my T-shirt, and I had blue jeans on underneath. You saw the top of my boots, you know, the pants were stuffed in, and he said, well, you said it. And I said, I liked it. Got killed because I had my real tight pants on, and I said I could barely pull my knee up to do any stomping.
Oh, man,
I was looking at my partner. And I said, Farm Boy was about three. It was about like Haystack Calhoun, and my guy was maybe 220 pounds. I was 220, and I was probably bigger than him, but he was shorter than I was. But I sit there and said, he sit there and said, well, I'd rather be biting your chunk of coal. And I said, well, we might just start double-teaming him whenever that Farm Boy gets in there, you know, whatever it takes. But I said, he stepped on my hand and broke my dang hand.
Oh,
and
wow.
I said, you know, I said, had more damn injuries from clumsiness, you know. And I sat there and thought, someone said, oh, well, you got her in Hawaiian. I got her in Hawaiian. I said, oh, I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to stay for Hawaii. I'm going to talk Peggy into staying for Hawaii, and I'm going home. But it was
one of those. Well, that's
great, Susan. Yeah.
But, those are incredible
stories. The king ended up catching me. Yeah. Well, the king caught me off to the side, and he said, you did tell the truth, didn't you? And I said, yes, sir. You won't never see these legs again. And then the funny part, when you went to get out of this airport, you had to have $20 American, when all of us Americans were putting all our Tonga money together so we could not have any of the Tonga money, and they wouldn't take it. We had to have $20. Each one of us had to have $20 American. To get out, and I sit there, and of course we had a plane to take our suitcases out and a plane to take the wrestlers, and it took two planes to take the wrestlers out because of our weight. And they had to use the small planes because they didn't have a long runway. I could sit there. I looked at some people and I start saying, you tell you you're right, Ray, don't you dare lie. These guys are dependent on our weight. Yeah, our suitcases, they did weigh them. But I said, make everybody jump on those scales. If they weigh the suitcases, they can weigh us too. But I just saw Paul Epo was saying, oh, I think I'm about 330. And I thought, well, we're going to say 350. I'm not weighing that much. And I thought, yeah, you are. We're going to make sure this pilot can get us up. Or I ain't riding with you.
Yeah. Now ain't the time to be sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. So anyway, we've had Papa Crow. We've had great conversations with him. We've had great conversations with Susan Green. Todd and Steve, do you have a question for either one of our primo hosts and guests?
Not a question real quick, but I want to make sure I know I dropped, I sent a messenger out with the information, but I do want you all to know that Sinister has been doing battle with his cell phone service provider, and that is why he is not on the call tonight. I can, let's just say his messages show his frustration.
Okay,
Sinister, exactly. Hang in there, brother.
Yeah, it'll go
there
over.
We love Sinister. He is great, and that's wonderful. And so anyway, Todd and Steve, do you have a question for our two esteemed guests, Papa Stroh or Susan Green?
I'll go back to something Papa Stroh mentioned earlier, the WrestleMania coming up. I remember the build-up, the excitement for those early WrestleManias. How do they recapture that? Because there was certain magic for the time, if you will, because we sure ain't got any Roddy Pipers now. To help build that stuff up. What do you guys think they need to get that kind of magic going?
Could you repeat that one more time?
Okay,
just want to make sure I get all
the excitement, okay. The magic of waiting for those for the headline matches going into WrestleMania, those early years. Everything was just the storytelling, the build-up. It had been going on for a while. The feuds had – they weren't just there. They were building. The intensity was building all the way. How can they capture that magic again?
Take your time and tell the story.
They need to build on it, but having everybody out in the ring to sign the contract and then making a big deal about the bodyguards there and Brock Lesnar beating everybody with the chairs and the tables and everything. Let your mouth do the talking. You know, you're not beating them up. You're out there to wrestle the other one that took off. You know, you keep a distance from them to make people want to see you, because if I was as mad as Brock Lesnar looked like he was at self, I'd have went over the table. I wouldn't have went after the others.
Yeah.
You know,
you just
getting them so close together to where he'd rather take his frustration out on everybody else when I would have dove straight over somebody else. To do, but you know, I think back in the old days they didn't put us side by side, and if the girls had interviews, the girls went early and the other girls went later. And then when I did the all girl promotions, the girl that was wrestling the one girl, you know, there was two or three other interviews in between before that girl came on to answer your interview. So it wasn't like you went back to back. You had to kind of remember. But they I think they're getting them too close together. Or I feel like they're too close together, because if I was as mad as Brock was or Seth was, you know, I wouldn't be getting that close and.
Oh no!
Yeah, you know, I'd be going over the table.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Yeah, I mean, which I don't know the saying. Every guy that I train, he can repeat and do Ric Flair's saying about the flying limousine riding and jet flying and still kissing and whatever else he does. But, you know, let the wrestlers have their own say, because you can tell some of the girls get lost in what they're supposed to say, and then they get in trouble for not saying what they're supposed to say. You know, that's, I guess everybody, not just the girls, but I mean, and if you have a monitor running, everybody else can see that monitor running for you to read down what you're supposed to be saying. So,
amen to that.
Yeah,
let them put a little bit of themselves into what they do. I mean, if they don't believe what they do, how the audience going to believe in them? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're right. So right on that.
Yeah, I guess Texas and Oklahoma has always had something going, and whenever I wrestled somebody from Oklahoma, if they didn't do it first to me, I'd end up taking my hat and my boots out to the ring and sit there and say, that's what you're going to look like when I finish with you. And it would just be the hat sitting on top of the boots. And I said,
yes.
You know, you ain't got no body when I finish with you.
Sorry, Susan, we love that statement. That's great.
Yeah. I met a guy that was actually from South Carolina, and he sat there and said, you know, I just love Texas. And I said, you're the first man that I heard say that wasn't from there. He said, no, I didn't like Dallas so much, but whenever I got out away from Dallas, but he liked Dallas. You know, I said, well, I don't like Dallas. You know, I said, I was there after being gone for 2 years, and I said, there I was on an interstate, and it was talking about turnpikes, and I'm wondering where the toll gate is, and I never came across a toll gate. And then there was cars coming on both sides of me, heading towards me. You know, and I thought, where did I get in the middle of a road that's going the wrong way? You know, and it's like, they've run out of road, so they're having to make roads go the direction where they got it, where they can. And I thought, I am going to skip Dallas the next time I go anywhere.
Oh, man, that whole mix master over there, Miss Susan. I spent time up there back in the years. I was stationed in Houston, and my brother lived up in Irving. Boy, that would be a hot mess up there.
Yeah. It's a hot mess. Yeah, my sister lived in Irving. Yeah. I sit there and say, well, y'all know where Mama lives. Y'all just meet me down there.
Yeah.
But that's 400 miles.
I like
and it's like, well, you're in Texas. Yeah. Get used to it.
Right.
That is true.
Yeah. If you say something in Texas, you're looking at 200 or better in miles. You know, there's nothing that's close to you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. A short drive is 3 hours or less.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're the home of the bluebells, the most beautiful flowers in the world.
Yeah. Well, I know the highway department loves it, because after Lady Bird Johnson sat there and threw out the flowers, and they're a tough flower. When they start blooming, then they don't get to mow the mediums in Texas because of the blue bonnets.
I'm sorry, they're just so beautiful, though, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks. And I'll tell you what, we're going to have to close up the show, because we're almost at the top of the hour. And I want to thank, first of all, Papa Stro Maestro for being such a wonderful guest. Papa Stro, thanks a lot.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure. A big honor to be on the air with my favorite tag team partner ever, the legendary Susan Green. Thank you so much. And
I wanted to thank the greatest lady wrestler, in my opinion, of all time, Susan Green. Thank you, Susan, for coming on tonight.
Well, I was running late, but I didn't forget. I'm glad to be
here.
I'm
glad you were here.
Share some of the stories.
Well, thank you so much.
I can't wait to get Papa on my side again.
I like it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Of course, We want to say thanks to Todd. Thank you for being here.
I do what I can.
You certainly do, and we know that it's hard for you to manage all this with your work, but we want to thank you for being here. You're just a great addition. You're a great co-host for Pro Wrestling Interviews. And Steve Logan, thank you so much.
I'm not sure if he's still on the call. I thought I heard him wearing out earlier.
You said, you still there, Steve? Oh, well, if he doesn't answer that, that's okay. We know we love him, and we think he's great. So this is Dr. Yeah. John Stamey, and we're going to say thanks to everybody for being on Pro Wrestling Interviews, and I'm going to give a call. I'm going to give the first call to Susan Green, and then, of course, to Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling, and we'll talk to Todd tomorrow, and, of course, Steve. So I wanted to say thank you to everyone for being on the show. We appreciate it, and you guys are the best. And guess what?
Thank you.
We'll see you next week in Pro Wrestling Interviews, okay?
It sounds good to me.
Absolutely.
You too.
Right.
Okay,
safe,
we're waiting on the British lady.
Well, y'all be safe out there. We got a week to go for the next week.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
One day at a time.
We're working on closing down the show. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes the British lady's a little crazy. But anyway, thanks a lot. And I'll talk to you guys later, Susan Green and Papa Stroh. Give me a minute, and we'll talk to you. Take care.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Love y'all.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Love you too, ma'am. Be safe, group. Big hugs.
Yep.
Sinister, we get it. We get it. We've all been there, brother. Darn phone service providers. Where's that confounded British lady?
I don't know. She's about to go away. We don't care. Take care. Bye-bye.